Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the sunshine. And Lord, I just thank you for those who decided to come to church today rather than go to the park or to the beach, to the rivers, wherever they go. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, Lord, and that Lord, that you would just bless this time together, Lord, that we would truly understand your margins when we finish today. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're talking about margins, and we're talking about stopping points. We're talking about places in your life where you put a margin or a space, where you stop and you recognize, okay, I need to deal with this. I need to take care of what I need to take care of, because God said, hey, here's what you got to do. Put a margin in there for time. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody seems to be buzzing around like a bunch of bees. They don't know who's coming or going. They're just constantly moving. Have you noticed that? Like, society has gone so crazy that literally they're just moving. If you ever, like I cut grass yesterday, and because my dandelions were outside waving at me. I think they were mocking me too. And so I said, okay, I gotta get there and cut grass. But when I did, I found a new anthill that I don't ever remember having, and unfortunately it's far enough from the house. And so when I went over with the mower though, what happens? You kind of level it, right? You ever see it and then ants just go crazy? You ever seen an anthill that's been disturbed? Well, that's what people are like. They're like that anthill that has been disturbed, and they're just all crazy running around. And God says, listen, I put time margins in your life so that you will stop and you'll take the time to focus on what's important. And then before I left last week, the week prior to that, I spoke on treasure margins. And of course, that wasn't as popular as the first one. But we talked about your treasure, and God says, listen, you need to take the time, and first you need to honor him with the tithe. But then you need to take and do what is right with your finances, to do what is right with the things that you get in your life so that you can have a victorious life. And if you don't apply these margins, these stopping points, and so when it comes to your treasure, you got to go, okay, this is my treasure. I'm going to give to God what's his, which is the tenth, that's the tithe, and the rest of it is mine, and I'm going to put it away, and I'm going to be a good steward with my money, and I'm just not going to be frivolous with it, because you know, some of us think that because we have a dollar, we have to spend that dollar. Remember when you were a kid and they'd give you a dollar and you'd put it in your pocket and it was like, can we go to the store? Can we do that? Of course, then, you know, you could go buy candy for a nickel, and those days are gone, right? You can buy the thought of buying a candy for a nickel. You just can't buy the candy. And I remember, as soon as I got some money, it was time to go, man. Let's go to the gas station. And my grandfather, we called him Pap. And I said, Pap, you need gas for the mower? Don't you got to go to the gas station? Pap, let's go to the gas station. Pap. And he's like, just walk. Because why? I had money and I had to spend it. And so when we talked about the treasure margin, it is learning how to deal with your finances. How does God want you to spend your money? We know the tenth, the first tenth is his, but then how does he want you to spend the rest? And so today we're going to look at the celebration margin. These are probably the three biggest margins in your life that have the absolute most impact in your life, which is time, because time gets away from us if we're not disciplined and paying attention. I challenge people all the time on their time. They go, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I don't have time. Okay, here's what we're going to do. There's 168 hours in a week. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your calendar out, one big enough where it has squares you can write on it. And matter of fact, the church even gave everybody a calendar for Christmas, right? And so that you had something for the New Year's. And some of you are chuckling because you just got smart enough to start using it. I'm just kidding. And so so you got it right in there. Okay, here's my time. This is what I did. And I want you to keep track of every day of what you do. Because I was sitting down with one guy and we're going over his time schedule. And you know what we found out? Even he works a full-time job, and I gave him, are you ready for this? I actually gave him 50 hours a week to sleep. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I don't see 50 hours a week, a month, let alone a week. And then, so I gave him the full 8 hours a day plus a little, you know, okay, I'm dragging to get out of bed this morning time. And you know what we found out? He still had 64 hours left. By the time we calculated everything in, 64 hours left in a week. And this was the response. Wow, I didn't realize I had that much free time. See, here's what happens, because some of you are sitting there going, oh, if I filled out that calendar, I could show him I don't have any time. Did everybody get one of these, by the way? Tim, Kevin? I show him, you know what, I fill out that calendar, he'll see I don't have as much time as he thinks I do. I'm a busy person, and I promise you, if you sit down and you are honest with yourself in that calendar, you would be shocked at how much time you actually have and how much time you really waste. Because what I challenge you to do is take out the calendar and every day write down what you did, the time you started it, and the time you finished it. Do that every day for 30 days. It'll blow you away. Then I challenge people to do the same thing with their money. Because people say, you don't understand. I run out of money before I run out of month. And that's just difficult. And I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down. And with the calendar, again, every day you write down every penny that you spent and what you spent it on. And it's your little calendar, your little secret, whatever. But you write down every penny and everything you spent it on. And you will be blown away at how much money you actually throw away. Like, I have a friend, and I met him at Starbucks when I was in North Carolina. And I met him there for 3 days. 3 days in a row we met at Starbucks. And 3 days in a row he bought me a Starbucks, which I don't drink it, but I was drinking it with him. I was like, yeah, dude, I'll try something new. I don't care. And so I was trying different coffees. I mean, it was his $5, not mine. And so I said, yeah, we'll try it. And I was doing double shots. You guys do coffee, you know what double shots are, right? So I was doing double shots, sitting there like zigging out on him. But he goes, man, and when he got there, everybody knew him. Everybody knew his name. And they were like carried on conversation with him like he was their best bud. I go, man, how often are you here? And he goes, well, this is like my second office. Well, it might be my first office, and my actual office is my second office. I haven't determined that yet. But every day, and I said, man, do you buy these coffees every time you come in here? He goes, oh, yeah. Well, that's like, how many times do you come here a day? He goes, oh, I go, how many coffees do you buy a day? And he goes, oh, usually 2 to 3. Dude, you're dropping $10 to $15 a day on coffee? And he goes, I didn't actually look at it like that. All he looked at it was, he was at his office having coffee. I'm looking at it as $15. And so he spent like mega money when I was there because he was buying me some too, and I wasn't getting the cheap stuff. And so the thing I challenge you to do is, well, you know, they go, I said, what's good? And they'll say, well, try this, like the toffee something, something, something. And I go, hey, that sounds good. I'll try it. Double shot. Those double shots cost. I don't know. So anyway, here's my challenge. Is when it comes to finances, your finance margin, your treasure margin, keep track of it. Just for a month. It will astound you at what you waste. Just like the time margin will astound you at what you waste. And here's what you'll find. You have a lot more time than you ever imagined, and you have a lot more money than you ever imagined. The problem is we don't want to go without what we don't want to go without. And so here we are on the celebration margin. And the celebration margin, when we talk about the celebration margin, we talk about celebrating Christ. We talk about celebrating so many things in our lives. And do we take the time to celebrate that? Or do we just take advantage of it and take it for granted like we do everything else? You know, after a while, everything becomes mundane, doesn't it? I mean, everything just becomes old humdrum, the usual. I was riding with a guy, and he had gotten a new motorcycle. And after a while riding, this was a statement he made to me. And when he said it, I thought, how true it is in life. He made this statement. He goes, man, when I first got it, I was a little afraid of the bike because it was new. But now I've gotten used to the speed, so I don't mind cranking it up a little bit tighter. I don't mind, it doesn't scare me anymore. And when he said it, I was like, yeah, I know what you mean, you know, because like when I first got my bike and, you know, same way you get used to the speed, you get used to everything. But in life, we get the same way. And before you know it, we take it for granted. We start taking advantage of it. We actually quit thinking about how dangerous that motorcycle really is. And we think we're riding it. when really it's riding us. And then we do that in life with people. We take advantage of people. And we take advantage of their friendships. What do we celebrate anymore? Look at Christmas. Do we even celebrate Christmas anymore? How about Easter? Do you know that churches all across America were down as a whole, percentage-wise, by 18% this year at Easter? Now think about that. Christmas and Easter, that's when even the creasters come out. That's when everybody says, man, our highest attendance day, and yet, where are the people? What do we celebrate? We don't celebrate Easter. We don't celebrate Christmas. And so today, I want you to see that God puts these margins in our life for us to stop and focus on Him. To stop and see what we're taking for granted when we're talking about celebration margins. We just go at life at a breakneck pace, and we got to slow it down. There was a chemical fire, and it was the fire was out of hand, and they called all these fire engines and firehouses, and they were all coming in, and they couldn't get the fire under control. And so the owners of the chemical plant were really getting distraught, and they knew that if they didn't get this under control soon, that they would lose everything. And so they started putting out a reward, and the reward was getting bigger. I mean, literally by the hour, these people were just putting out the reward bigger and bigger. And finally, here come this senior saints fire department. You know, they were all volunteer and they were on their truck, and you seen them coming, and they started coming down the hill, and they drove right into the middle of the fire. And they started fighting this fire from the inside out. And it wasn't long. They actually put the fire out. And so the reporters got up with the fire chief of this senior saints volunteer fire department, and they were astounded, and they said, man, what a great effort. Let me ask you this. What are you going to do with all that money that you got from the reward? And the senior chief said, the first thing we're going to do is fix the brakes on that fire truck. Listen, it's very important that we learn how to stop. Very important that we learn how to stop. Because if we don't, man, we go right into those fires and it'll consume us if we're not careful. Very important that we learn how to stop. We're going to be in Exodus 23. If you would, turn your Bibles to Exodus 23. And then I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible also, so you hold Exodus, turn your Bible also to Esther. And so Esther is to the right, about a quarter of an inch. for some Bibles, maybe more or less for the other. You have 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, then you got Ezra, Nehemiah, and then Esther. So it's really not far. And I want you to open up to Esther. If you get to the job, you went too far. Okay, it's Job. I'm just having fun with you. If you get to Job, you went too far. Mark your spots, and then that way you have them. Let's look in Exodus 23, 14 through 16, and if I could have everyone stand as we read the Word of God. 14, 15, and 16, we're going to be reading chapter 23, verses 14, 15, and 16. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your love. Lord, I just ask right now that you would help me to have clear thought, and Lord, that I would preach your word clearly and boldly, and Lord, that we would truly grab hold of what you mean by these margins, and Lord, we would apply them to our lives so that we have victory. And Lord, that we can affect others around us, that they would have victory. So ultimately, Lord, you get the glory. Lord, I thank you for today and another opportunity to share your word. Be with me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, set that air on about 70, if you would. Is it warm in here or is it me? Okay. Yeah, well... Okay, well, we're going to go by my thermometer today. Okay, let's look here, and we're going to look at a celebration margin. And the first thing that we're going to look at, because if we don't observe these margins, we will crash. There's no question about it. Listen, you can't keep going and going and going and going and going and not stopping, because what happens is, even if your body, you know, you work, say you work 2, 3, 4 days at a time. And I remember when I was 20, and I used to drive tractor trailer. I started driving semi when I was 17. And I know it's illegal, but they just wanted the load delivered. They didn't care. So I started driving semi when I was 17. And I remember I could go 2 and 3 days without stopping. And I mean, and I didn't even drink coffee then. And I would go and go and go and go and go. And then when I went home, when everything was said and done, I'd go home and I'd sit down. And after about 15 minutes of just sitting there, I'd crash. Like, just crash. And so what happens is, when we go and go and go and go, we crash. And when we crash, it's usually not good. So as we're looking at these, we're going to break this down. And we're going to look at what God's Word says here. So the first thing we're looking at is, take time to celebrate. Take time to celebrate. It says here in verse 14, you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep a feast to me. And what he's saying is, listen, you shall keep a celebration to me. You shall continue to celebrate. You need to keep this feast to me, is what he's saying in verse 14. We celebrate what's important to us, don't we? Absolutely we do. Hey, you let a birthday come by? Listen, I don't know if you're one of these ladies or men that do this. And if you are, check your treasure margin or something. I don't know. But I know people that have their child, and they want to celebrate their 1 year birthday. And I know people literally who have dropped $500, $600, $700 on the birthday party, not including the gifts. I'm like, can I be your kid? I'll suck my thumb for that kind of money. You know what I'm saying? How crazy is that? And yet, they do it. But you know what? We celebrate birthdays, don't we? We celebrate events. I mean, listen, if your favorite football team wins the Super Bowl, do you celebrate it? Absolutely. Woo-hoo! You'll shout and scream. You won't shout and scream Jesus, but you'll shout and scream your football team. And so you celebrate events. You celebrate birthdays. But do we celebrate God? And so now, guys, this is where we're at. It's like do a checkup from the neck up, but start with the heart. Do we celebrate God? Do we celebrate Jesus? Do we celebrate our salvation? Do we celebrate the peace that God gives us? Do we celebrate all the things that we ask God for and He actually gives them to us? Do we celebrate Him for that? Is there a margin of time where you stop and you go, God, thank you? Last week we talked about the margin of time, and we talked about the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is just one day out of the week that you keep holy. That's a day of rest that is set aside just for God, to worship Him, to recognize who He is and what He's given you. And so now we're talking about the celebration margin, just the time where we stop and we take time to celebrate God. And you know what that is? That is coming here. It is going to church, and it is celebrating God and everything that He has done for you. It is taking the time to get together, because that's what He says. This is the Passover. And of course, we celebrated Easter, and what we're talking about here in Exodus is the Passover. And they were having a feast because God had delivered them. You know, He said, put the blood over the door and I'll protect your firstborn. He won't die. And so for everyone to put the blood over the door, that was the Passover, and their children didn't die, they were celebrating this. And this went on for years and years and years and years and years and years. And even to this day, they'll still celebrate the Passover. So what do we do? Like, do we celebrate God? We thank Him, we love Him, or we say we do, but does our life show it? And then do we take the time to thank Him for it? I'll be quite honest with you, I'm a guy and I don't like writing thank you notes. Like, if you give me a gift and I tell you to your face, thank you, that's sufficient. if you send me a gift and I get it in the mail and I call you up and I go, man, thank you so much for that gift. It was awesome. Thank you so much. I loved it. To me, it's done. I fulfilled it, right? Oh, no. I think you ladies started this. I'm just going to tell you, somebody, I don't know who started it, but whoever it did, they just need to be spanked. We got to send out thank you notes. So what do? You go down to the store, and now you can't buy just one. If you do, it's $5. So you just buy the cheaper ones in an envelope, the little ones, and the little postcard, whatever they are. And so now you got to sit down and you got to write a thank you. But when you start writing the thank you, it's not sufficient just to put on there thank you for such and such gift, love ya, or appreciate you, or whatever, John. That's not sufficient. I got to sit down and figure out something really good to say, really meaningful to say, because it's like my thank you isn't enough, right? Am I okay? And so we'll sit down and we go, right? It takes me 2 days to figure out how to say thank you better than thank you. I don't know how to do this. So I go back, I finally get something all wrote down, and then I put it in the envelope, and I lick it and stick it and put it in the mail. And I go, it's done. But I got 15 gifts. So it's going to take me 6 months to get through this process. Or we do what? Same thing on every thank you, right? Leave the gift part out. Just thank you for the gift, blah, 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 blah. And I'm done in 10 minutes and that's it. Why wasn't my thank you enough? But we go through this whole process. But why don't we do that for God? Like, why isn't there a process for us to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. I think of my salvation. I think of the knowing where I was at, knowing I was dying and going to hell. I think about that and I process that, and I do daily. I'll tell you, I kid you not, it's almost daily. And I'm like, God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you that I'm not going to die and go to hell. I mean, this is celebration. I don't know about you, but look, my buns aren't going to roast on the open fire. So I'm pretty excited about this. Let's celebrate it. But most of us just sit back. Thank you, God. It's good. And we're done. And then we wonder, where are the blessings? God, I thought you were real. You know, I listen to these other Christians and they say that you do this and you do that and I don't see any of it. And I think God says, well, when you learn how to sit down and write out that card, I get you something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got to process this, guys. We have to process where we're at, and do we really celebrate God? And He says, look, I want you to celebrate it. Look at Exodus 23:24. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the children of Israel. And what's he telling them? Listen, there's a lot of Gentiles in your area. There's a lot of naysayers in your area. There's a lot of people who don't believe in me in your area. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay focused on me, because if you don't, and you start listening to them, and you start looking at their gods, you're going to forget about me. But their gods is made out of stone, wood, hay, stubble, paper, rock. They're four-footed beasts, is what Romans says. They're nothing. They're worshiping what is created rather than the Creator. And he says, you can't do that. And if you hang out with them, it won't be long. You'll be just like them. And you know what will happen? You won't celebrate me anymore. You won't celebrate the victory of me taking you out of bondage. You won't celebrate that anymore. As a matter of fact, you won't even recognize me anymore. You'll forget about me. Now, I know nobody in here ever forgets about God. Of course, if you do, it's probably short-lived, because as soon as something bad happens, you're like, oh God, save me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, I need a new car. Oh God, I need gas. Oh God, I need this. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And as soon as God delivers, our celebration doesn't happen. Or if it does, it's momentary. Praise Jesus. All right, let's go. Don't say that in front of anybody. And we walk out of our house, and we don't celebrate God. And he says, listen, and I think what's happened is we've gotten caught up in society, and we've allowed society to dictate our celebrating God. I was watching Huckabee, and I usually don't watch Huckabee because he's it's about like watching grass grow, you know? It's just so boring for me. And so, but last night he had Franklin Graham on there, which was really good. But here's what was over the top. He had an atheist girl on there. And she was an author of a book where she, this is so, like, talk about an oxymoron, this is it. She's an atheist. When she got on the show, she blatantly said, "I am an atheist. I'm not an angry atheist, I'm just an atheist." But here's what she wrote her book on. I can't remember the name of it, but it's Why America is So Hateful Against Christianity. She writes this book on why liberals are so hateful against Christianity. And she's angry that they're hateful toward us, but yet she doesn't want to be one of us. She doesn't agree with us. But here's what she said. "I am outraged at the way people treat Christians. I don't agree with their religion. I don't think it's right, and I'm not going to be a Christian. But I can't understand why people are so hateful toward Christians," and so she writes this book. But then she makes this statement. She goes, "I am outraged at this, but what I cannot understand is why Christians aren't outraged at this." It took an atheist to write a book to defend us. Like that, I mean, that doesn't even sound right when you say it. But that's what happened. She is angry at the liberals for the way they treat Christians and the hatefulness that comes out. But then she's equally angry at Christians for not taking a stand. And so she writes a book on our defense, on our behalf. When do we start celebrating God? I mean, not just on Sundays or Christmas or Easter or when something good happens in our life and we want to give Him credit. Not just then. Like, when do we really start celebrating God? When does He really mean something in your life? Like, when there's application and there's appreciation. And I was down at DMV. I hate the DMV. But my tags were expiring on the day Friday, so I had to go down there. You know, we just got back from North Carolina. I forgot all about it, and then Friday morning or Thursday night, I realized, oh wow, my tags are expiring. I better go down there and get my tags. And so I knew they were going to expire that day, and I couldn't wait until Monday. I didn't want a chance getting a ticket, so I went down to Albany, and. You know, you get down to Albany and you just kind of sit in line. Well, it was pretty cool because I met this other guy, and how we met was he knew Jesus. Or at least he was calling His name out. And so I assumed he knew Jesus, and I went, "Oh, you know my Savior too." And he looks at me like this dumbfounded look on his face. And I went, "Well, you keep calling on Him, I figure you know Him." And he just looks at me. He's like 65 years old, roly-poly. Just his head was literally looked like a pumpkin sitting on his shoulders. And he's looking at me just this scowl. And I said, "Why do you keep..." He was angry for standing in line for so long. Like, we were there forever is what it was. And I knew what it was. And I go, "Why do you keep calling out Jesus Christ?" And he looks at me. I said, "Listen, man, that's my Savior. I'm not going to condemn anybody you love. I ask that you don't condemn anybody I love." And we actually started talking. I was like, wow, a little shocking. Usually they spit at me and kick me. So we actually started talking. Didn't win him to the Lord. He didn't want to hear no more about Jesus. But he had a different respect for me. There was a different level there. He may not even like what I said, but here's what he did. He noticed what I said and went, "Wow, he's serious about his God." If we'll just do that, if we'll just be serious about our God, I think the celebration would come much more frequent and much better. And listen, according to Exodus, if we don't follow that and celebrate God, it won't be long before the world's gods will have us. I went to North Carolina, loved our time in North Carolina. But when I came back, and I came back somewhat refreshed, but here's what I noticed that just kind of really blew me away. At the amount of people, Christians, people who say, "I am a Christian, I love Jesus. He's my Savior. These people that have left the church. Left the church. Well, what church are they going to? No, you don't understand. They're not going to any church. They left. They're not even serving God. They're doing their own thing. And I wonder, how about this one? Man, they're gone too. Well, I don't see so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And he's like, John, they're gone. And I left there going, wow, man, how tragic it is. But then, what are we doing that we're not going after the ones that we know are supposed to be here? We haven't called them, we haven't wrote them, we haven't went by to visit them. We have done nothing to contact them to say, hey, let's go celebrate Jesus together. What can I help you with? We need to celebrate God. But we're so busy with our own lives, we don't even know where they're at. And contrary to belief, pastor can't reach them all. I can't. I'd love to. But they don't want to hear from me all the time. Guess who they want to hear from? Somebody that doesn't get paid to say, I love you. Because that's their mentality. Well, the pastor gets paid to do that. How can we celebrate Jesus when we don't even know where the people are to celebrate with? The Passover, they all came together. They all came together. And they celebrated together. But the problem is, we get so caught up with everything out in the world, it's like eye candy. Isn't it? It's eye candy. Oh, we look at that, we want it, and then we pursue it. And it's not long before we obtain it. But at what cost? The second thing, take time to observe. He says, you shall keep the feast in verse 15. And I told you that this is a time of Passover. And to take time to observe, that word says you shall keep. But it literally means that you shall observe, but not just observe, but you shall observe in detail. Observe in detail. And if you look at the Passover, there was a lot of detail to the Passover, wasn't there? Absolutely there was, man. There were symbols, signs, everything they had to do. I mean, there was a whole process to set up that they had to go through. And so what he's saying here is, listen, I want you to observe in detail. I want you to take time to observe. To grow, to learn. I want you to turn to Esther. We're going to be in Esther just for a moment. I want you to look here in Esther chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. 9, 20 through 22. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar. As the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. Listen, they were so thankful for what God had done for them, so thankful that not only did they feast, and of course, I don't know if you know, but I really like to eat, and I've shared that with you over the holidays, but I've done well cutting out all the sugar. That sugar was killing me. And so bless you all for who gave it to me, and bless you all for stopping purchasing it. And then there are times I told my wife, I was like, Wednesday night, I go, man, normally we get there's going to be candy, but now there's not going to be any candy. Okay, I'm not going to insinuate I want any candy. It's been tough. I tell you, it's been tough getting away from the sweets. But here's what he says. Listen, you know what? They're going to feast, and they're going to turn the morning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy. Listen, they're celebrating. They're having a party, but it's not alone. What are they doing? They're getting others involved, aren't they? Look here, it says, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. They're saying, you know what? I'm not going to celebrate Jesus this on my own. I'm not going to give praise and glory to God on my own. I'm going to get everybody I know involved in it. And when everybody gets everybody they know involved in it, great things happen. And so here's what they did. They said, I'm not going to be content sitting here. I'm going to send these presents out to them. They don't want to come. I'm going to go to them. And I'm going to give it to them. And that's what happened here. And they had a great time. And they were sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. Listen, when you celebrate God and you really get who God is and you really appreciate what God has done for you, man, you can't help but to shout and to celebrate and to get somebody else involved. And when you don't, the question comes up, what's your love for God? Are you really saved? Are you really saved? Do you really love God? And you say, of course I do. Then what do you do? What is your lifestyle like to show it? We see here, there's celebration. There's great celebration. What do we do? What do we do to say, God, I love you? Look here in verse 28. Esther 9:28. That these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city. That these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Now you say, well, that's for Jews. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, we're talking Old Testament, we're going back, we're talking God's chosen, God's children. Are you one of God's children? Absolutely. I think we need to observe celebrating God. I think we need to take the example that was given, that they were to live out, and we are to live it out as well. I don't think we're excused from that. But of course, there's many that would disagree with me. But I want you to see that Esther, God used Esther in a great way to deliver His people. And Esther, I love Esther. She had the attitude, and this is what she said, if I perish, I perish, but I will speak truth before the king. If I perish, I perish, but doggone it, I'm going to speak truth to the king. And here's what I'm wondering. The minute we get under a little bit of pressure, we think, oh my, I might perish. Shut up. Don't we do that? Oh my, well, I'm going to lose my job. Better be quiet. Oh my, you know what? This is going to happen. This is going to cost me a little something. Sorry, Jesus. You're big, but you're not this big. This is my job. This is my friend. This is my. And God, you're not worth that. So we don't say anything. And Esther, of all the people that God could have used, He used Esther. Why? Because, man, she was sold out. She had the heart. And she said, if I perish, I don't care. I'm telling the king the truth. What does it cost you? How much would it take to keep you quiet? How much would it take to keep you from saying the name of Jesus? See, during the time of Esther, they were celebrating God's intervention in their lives. They weren't willing to let anything come before that. We struggle to remember because of distractions in our lives. All these distractions, guys. And listen, I know, because there's times where I'm guilty of it. Like, I'll get on the computer and I'm just going to hunt down one thing. I just want to find one thing. And before I know it, I look up and 3 hours are gone. And I go, what just happened? So now you know what I do? I set an alarm. If it takes me more than 30 minutes to find what I need to find, I stop. Do it when I have more time to do it. So I got a 30-minute window. I set my phone alarm. 30 minutes. It goes off. If I'm still perusing the computer, that's my sign to go. Because who looks at the clock, right? When that happens, I go, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm done. I shut it off and move on. Just a little tip in case some of you have the same problem I got and get lost on it. But they were celebrating. And for Israel, it was a time to come together. And guys, I'm telling you, for us, it needs to be a time to come together. We need to start coming together as Christians. We need to start coming together as a church family. We need to start coming together as people who love one another. Because until we do, we're never going to reach this area. And Sunday should be a time of celebration and worship, and a time of unification and celebrating our Savior. That's what Sunday needs to be. And sometimes, I don't know what we do with it. I really don't. The next thing we look at, because we looked at take the time to celebrate, take the time to observe, and the last thing we're going to look at is take the time to give. Now look here in Esther, chapter 9, verse 22. And as the days which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days as feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. We really need to start reaching out and taking care of each other and taking care of the community and taking care. We need to start reaching out. I'm not telling you to give all your money away. But here's what I'm telling you. When you hoard and you keep to yourself, you stop God from working through you. Remember when I talked about the treasure and I talked about how God wants us to be a funnel? Where the funnel's wide at the top, God pours it in, and then it just comes out the bottom. It's very much controlled coming out. And that's how God wants us to be. And He says right here, listen, they were overjoyed, man. Their mourning was turned to joy, and they were giving, and they were loving on each other, and they were celebrating with each other. And so what we need to understand is that we need to take time to give. In verse 15b of Exodus, He says, "None shall appear before me empty," and it just stops there. But if you go into the Greek and you search it out, it would literally mean that none shall come before me empty-handed. God says, when you come to me, you need to come to me ready to give. Don't come to me with nothing, because nothing doesn't show me anything that you love me. Nothing doesn't show me that you're sold out for me. He says, look, I want you to come before me with something to give. And if we're not careful, we want to hold on to everything we have so tight that we miss the blessing, and so do those that God wants to bless. In Esther 9:22, we need to understand what they're doing and practice the same thing. See, they understood because they were under the oppression of Pharaoh. And guys, I'm telling you right now, we're under the oppression of the liberals and those who hate Christians. We're under the oppression of our own lack of praising God, that has no more pressure on us because we're uncomfortable doing it, so we're just not going to do it. And we need to understand that we need to step up and we need to give and get out of this oppressive mindset that we put ourselves in, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power and boldness and a sound mind to go out and do what He would have us to do. And so I want you to see that we need to give and we need to share Christ. We can start right there. It doesn't cost you anything to share Jesus. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the freest gift, the most costly gift you could ever give to anybody in the world. It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime. But yet it costs God everything. And we can give it away. So when people say, well, I don't have nothing to give. Yes, you do. You have Jesus to share. Jesus to give. And we have to start there. And then you grow. But if we don't even start there, guys, then you're not taking time to celebrate God, because you're not loving God like you should. So we learned about the time margins, the treasure margin, the time margin, the treasure margin, and the celebrating margin. And so guys, we need to start celebrating Jesus the way the angels celebrate when one person receives Christ. Man, they throw a party. We need to have the same mentality. I want everybody to stand. Every head bowed.